Good morning. So thankful that we get to be here together this morning. As I walked in and I saw everybody, and I tried to speak to everybody as best as I could, coming in, you know, with a mask and all those things, it kind of makes me feel bad. I think about when I heard Dr. Carolyn. Most of you remember Dr. Carolyn McKinley, and I think her husband, I learned later, Dr. George, served as an elder here for a long time, many years ago. But Dr. Carolyn and Dr. George were my pediatrician, took two to take care of me, I think. But Dr. Carolyn told me she always referred to her father, Dr. Howard, as Daddy. And she said, when I was a little girl, she said, when we went around the square, if I didn't know everybody on the square when I went around with Daddy, she said, it made me feel bad. She said, if I didn't know every single person there, because she just cared about everybody and was so social. And when I came in, I feel like I know everybody, but I'm kind of like Dr. Carolyn. I feel kind of bad that I can't go around and greet everybody and say hello and how are you doing and all those things. So this is me doing that. So I'm so thankful that we get to be here together, and I hope that you're doing really, really well this morning. Hope you had a good several days. Maybe get to be with family. I was already posed a question. I think it was a loaded question when I walked in. Alan, did you eat too much turkey? And I think we know the answer to that. Yes, but I don't think you can ever eat too much turkey. I don't think so. Appreciate everybody's directed our service up to this point. Mark had mentioned something in his prayer that I kind of clung to real quick. The word navigate, you think about as we strive to navigate through our life each and every day. You think about trying to find ways to be pleasing to God, but also we want to get to heaven. And I think about daily affirmations. And the title of my lesson, if you can see there, tough times don't last, tough people do. And you see someone climbing a mountain, and don't you feel like that person? Sometimes I do. You know, sometimes maybe I over-relate, but sometimes I feel like I'm climbing a mountain, and I feel like that I'm going to fall off sometimes. I feel like that there are so many twists and turns, and it seems like when I get to one point of the mountain, guess what? I'm not even a fourth of the way there for that day. It continues to climb even higher. But I want you to, the theme of my lesson that you hear me repeat several times this morning is, tough times don't last, tough people do, but Christians cling to the cross. And that's what helps us not only get through each day, but also points us to heaven. So tough times don't last, tough people do, and Christians cling to the cross. And I think about, as we today, we sing songs of praise, we're commanded to be here, but also I'm thankful that we get to be here to study a portion of God's Word. And the encouragement, hopefully, that you'll leave with, that I've already been encouraged in preparation for this lesson this week. And I think about daily affirmations. If you look at my planner, my personal planner that I carry, I'm still a paper person. I still have a personal planner, and I have a big desk calendar. And you'll see all types of little encouragements or things that I've listened or heard somebody say or write that down or passages of Scripture. And those are little things to help me climb each little mountain each day. And I was first introduced to that positive thinking when I was in the 10th grade. I had a math teacher and a football coach named Charles Buzzy Groves. Coach Groves, he could teach the lowest of math classes that I was in all the way up to the highest math classes that were offered at that time. And Coach Groves, if you went to sharpen your pencil, he always had a little sign there of encouragement. Or if you got ready to leave the classroom, there's always a little sign by the door. And he also spoke like that. He also shared little nuggets of encouragement. And when I think about that, I think about today. I think about us as Christians, that the cross is more than just a nugget of hope. It is an umbrella that provides us today encouragement, but also a destination. And I think about us, that we want to stay focused, keep our priorities in order, and be pleasing to God. We not only want to have a state of mind that's positive, but we also want to have a mind that's Christ-like. So tough times don't last, tough people do, and Christians cling to the cross. You think about in your life, last few days, you think of the mountains in your life. Have you experienced some tough times recently? Sure you have. More than likely you have. Do you have some unanswered questions about your life? Why did this happen? Why is this happening? Why did this happen 30 or 40 years ago? I still don't understand. I think about my brother, who he passed away about 3 years before I was born, and on up until my mother started experiencing problems with dementia, she would always ask that question, why? You know, still struggle with that, and understandably so. But so many times we have unanswered questions that go on for decades, that they go on for many days and many, it leads into our adult life. And you think about obstacles. You think about maybe if I were to ask you, you don't have to answer this, but what are the three biggest obstacles you're facing right now? I guarantee you we all could come up with more than three. I know that I could. And you think about what we're trying to do. We're trying to seek help through maybe man-made documents, but we're also hopefully turning to Christ for our ultimate direction. And I've always had an interest in self-help. I've always had an interest in that. I found a little research before we dive into our lesson. You think about us today, the questions I've already posed to you. What are the mountains in your life? What are the three biggest obstacles you're dealing with? What are the challenges you're dealing with? Every single person in here is dealing, asking for advice, help, tips, support, guidance. I know that I am. I did a little research and found by marketresearch.com that the total U.S. self-help improvement market was worth $9.9 billion with a B as in boy, $1 billion in 2016. That means that people in 2016 in America spent $9.9 billion trying to find help to the answers to their questions. That's just astronomical to me. And it talked about in the research, it went on to talk about between 2016 and 2022 that the value of the market should increase by several more billion dollars. What are we all asking help for? Well, we're dealing with self-improvement, becoming healthier, personal coaching, weight loss, motivation, organizational skills, improved marriages, improved parenting, ways to improve the bottom line in business and personal finance. What does all of this have to do with you and I? That we're all seeking answers to something. We're all seeking direction. We're all seeking how to navigate, as Mark mentioned in his prayer, to get through this world. But we must realize that what are we living in? We're living in a fallen world, and we need our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead and turn. I have our outline in front of us. How can we overcome the challenges that we're all dealing with? The central question that I guess I want to begin with, how can we overcome tough times as we seek Christ even more? Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. You think about being aware. For the Hebrew writer says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Hebrews 4:15, while you're there, just a few pages over or scroll over. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You think about as we seek to find answers to our questions, we have to go back and realize that we live in a fallen world. Sin began where? In the garden, and it's existed ever since. If you go flip over to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we're going to look at temptation just for a second. One of the things that we all struggle with, maybe lead to our challenges, is temptation. Maybe those we love have given into temptation, which creates challenges to us. I remember one night in a Wednesday night class when we used to meet around the corner there. I missed that. And I remember Leland had talked. He said, well, you know, if Satan can tempt Jesus, what about us? What kind of target are we? And that really put it in perspective for me. And I think about, we see this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You think about as Jesus is being tempted, what kind of targets are we? We're targets just as well. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that those stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. If Satan attacks or tempts Jesus, we're also going to be tempted. So one of the first step to how to overcome challenges, how we can be, is creating awareness. We have to realize that we're in a fallen world. We have to realize that each and every day we're going to be attacked by Satan. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be pulled at. And so many doors going down the wrong path will be opened. But it's up to us to have that awareness. You think about getting trapped. Now, I really like my slides and overheads, and I almost put a picture of something that we've trying to trap with a little camera in our backyard. Asa has really gotten big into deer hunting. He actually got his first deer yesterday, but we found out something's been eating our corn, and I assured them at home it wasn't me. I only like turkey, and he borrowed his cousin's little camera. And we've seen everything but the neighbor. We've seen everything. We've seen deer. We've seen possum, squirrel, and raccoons. And we had a family of raccoons come through that seemed to almost be posing for the camera, it seems. And I wanted to put that up, but I'm not a hunter at all, so I don't know what the laws are. You know, I didn't know if I was allowed to put pictures up, so I just didn't know. But we are trying to trap and snare something that's infiltrating. My point with the application is that when I walk out through there, I don't understand traps, all those things. I don't know how to set them. And if I got in one, I sure would not know how to get out of one. So I know that there's three out behind the barn. And when I go out there, I'm constantly looking because I just don't know that I could get out of one. My point is that even as simple as a trap that it's been set by someone, we have to be aware. We have to know where that is. But more importantly, when you think about sin, we have to be aware of our surroundings, aware of the things that Satan is doing to us, and realize that we live in a fallen world. So the first thing that we can do to overcome challenges is to realize that we must have awareness, we must have perspective. The good news is already, if you go to Luke 22, verses 39 through 44, Luke 29, 39 through 44, we overcome challenges by realizing the strength of Christ. And you think about what we want to cling to. We want to cling to Christ because of his strength. Beginning in verse 39 of Luke 22. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to him, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat began like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. At this point, we know what's happening, what has happened, and what's happening, what's about to happen. Jesus already knew about being mistreated, rejected, mocked, put on trial falsely with false accusations, but he was about to understand even more pain and suffering. Why? Because he endured pain and death so we would not have to. That is an example of strength. You think about us today. When we seem to follow the idols, the people, the celebrities, maybe politicians, maybe the things of the world that don't last, all these things are limited. But we should be seeking Christ because he is proven. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And as you turn, you think about tough times don't last, but faithful Christians endure. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You think about the strength of Christ is unparalleled because Jesus is King. That in and of itself should cause us to feel strengthened, emboldened, and empowered. If you go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, Hebrews 9, 27, we can overcome challenges by realizing that this life is temporary. We know that that sometimes is not a fun thing to think about. When we think about losing our loved ones, we think about losing our friends or neighbors, and we think about how uncertain life is for ourselves and leaving those that love us and we love them behind. But it's something that we have to understand and have a perspective and realize and embrace. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." And you think about when we realize that when life really is just a vapor, that it should drive us even more importantly to realize that we need to be connected to Christ through obedience. If you go to John chapter 1:1, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And you think about Jesus, Word becoming flesh, walking this earth for 33 years, death, burial, and resurrection, that his death strengthened us. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. As we have all the things, like I've already mentioned, the multi-billion dollar industry of the average American seeking help, seeking guidance. We're also, that should remind us that we are seeking maybe help in the wrong place. Now, I enjoy listening to motivational speakers. I enjoy listening to things. I personally have signed up for, I get multiple emails a day that are a couple of minutes long. And they're encouraging, and I learn something from them, and I try to make a spiritual application out of them in my mind. But ultimately, our mind should be filled with what Christ expects. Philippians 2:5 says this, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ." We've got but one single life upon earth. We know that our focus should be on Christ and the message that you hold in your hands, either digitally or with a paper copy. What should we be focused on? We should be focused on the model, Jesus Christ. We should reflect the mind of Christ, the humility of Christ, united in love, and looking out for the interests of others. When we realize that life is like a vapor, we will be better students of the Bible instead of patrons of the world. I want you to think about our theme, tough times don't last, tough people do. Christians cling to the cross. How many times do we rely on man-made documents to help us help ourselves? So many times we're filling the void in our life, trying to find strength, trying to find answers, trying to find comfort in what man has written. The month of November, and I really don't know why, but it really makes me think of history. It makes me think of the beginning of our country. It makes me think of all those things. I'm really not sure why, but it always has. We had our election a few weeks ago, and I think about probably arguably the greatest man-made document that's ever been created is our Constitution of the United States of America. I found some basic facts I wanted to share with you quickly and compare man-made documents versus the Word of God that is inspired. The U.S. Constitution has 4,400 words. It is the oldest and the shortest written constitution of any major government in the world. The entire document takes up about 4 pages, measuring about 29 by 24 inches. To put that in perspective, the average typewritten piece of paper is 8.5 by 11 inches. And here it says our Constitution takes up 4 pages, each measuring 29 by 24 inches. With the signature section, there are 4,543 words, including all the amendments, brings the total to 7,591 words. Now put that in perspective. The average typewritten page, double-spaced, 12 font times New Roman, is about 250 typed words on a page. And here it says that our Constitution, with all the amendments and all the signatures, is 7,591 words. Well, I know this is not news to you, but in the late 1700s, spell check did not exist. And I wished it, and I'm so thankful we have spell check. But the U.S. Constitution contains multiple spelling errors. However, the most glaring error is the spelling of Pennsylvania. A delegate from that state left out one of the N's after he signed it. And guess where else it's even misspelled? On the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Our Constitution is, again, probably arguably the greatest man-made document ever produced. And as good as it is, has it solved our problems? Has it solved all of our problems? 2016, Americans spent several billion dollars seeking help for problems. Even as great as our Constitution is and our political system, as imperfect as it is, but yet still good, we're still dealing with imperfections. We're still dealing with challenges and a country of people seeking help. We realize that we can overcome life's challenges by having awareness of sin, understanding the strength of Christ, and realizing our time is temporary. You go to John chapter 16, verses 32. I should have had my constitution, sorry. John chapter 16, verses 32 through 33. John 16, 32 through 33 says this. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we want to cling to something, we need to cling to Christ. There's nothing at all having a mentor. We're asking for direction, asking for advice. There's nothing at all reading someone who has gone through some experiences. But if we want to navigate this earth and end our journey from this earth in heaven, we need to cling to Christ. And not man-made documents, not man-made productions. If you remember a couple years ago, Ralph Gilmore, he came and he spoke, had a gospel meeting. And I've only been around Dr. Gilmore probably 3 or 4 or 5 times maybe. But I've listened to tons of interviews with him. And even when he was here, he was very open about the challenges of his health challenges, his wife's health challenges. He's very open about the challenges he's had as a parent, raising children, having a daughter struggling with alcoholism. And he's very open about all of that because he wants to help other people. And in an interview, he's talked about 1 week he had prepared all week long a lesson for the following Sunday. Now, he has a terminal degree, so he could probably produce a pretty decent paper much better than I could. All punctuation, all grammar correct, and all those things are just great. He said he'd worked and worked and worked, and he said he was going to present his lesson to his wife at the kitchen table. He was going to do that. And he said he was so proud of himself, he thought he'd covered all bases, plan of salvation, introduction, 3 points, all of those things. And he was about, and he just did his best there at the kitchen table for his wife. And he said that his wife looked at him after he was finished. He was so proud of himself, he said. And she looked at him and she said, Ralph, he said, I knew I was in trouble when she started shaking her head. She said, people want 2 things when they hear a sermon. They want something that's going to get them through the week and something that's going to get them to heaven. As great and as nice and as knowledgeable as Ralph is, he's like you and I. He's a man. He produced a document that was grammatically correct, no punctuation issues, but yet we need to focus on the message of Christ and not the message of man. We go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. When you think about Hebrews 9:27, you think about how temporary life is. You think about the mountains that you and I climb each and every day, each and every week, and some of us have climbed mountains for decades, feeling with the absence of someone, more than one person, a family member, a friend, that absence, that void. And we need to remember, we need to cling to Christ, because tough people, tough times don't last. Tough people do, and Christians cling to the cross. How do we get into Christ? You think about all the things that, we're reaching out to in the world, that people tell us this is how you arrive at safety. This is how you feel protected. Well, I want to be in the protective custody of Christ. How do we get into Christ? The plan of salvation is there. We hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We believe, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We repent, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We confess Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. Baptized, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. For the remission of sins, that's found Mark 16, verses 15 through 16 as well. We remain faithful, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it doesn't say you have to remain perfect. You remain faithful. So as we think about, we'll end where we began. You think about overcoming challenges. We have to have awareness. We have to realize that Satan tempted Jesus. Well, he's tempting us as well. We have to cling to the strength of Christ. We have to realize that the things of this world are weak. We have to cling to his strength. The third point, we have to realize that life is, we all have a limited number of sunsets. And when we do those things, that while it's fine to listen to what others have to say and encouragement has to say, but we realize what's solid is the foundation of Jesus Christ. You look at the plan of salvation. If you've never obeyed the gospel, well, today you've heard the word of God. You've heard what the Bible says. We have elders here. We have brethren who would love to pray with you, study with you, so that you can begin your journey. You can be immersed, come up out of that watery grave, have your sins washed away, come in contact with the blood of Christ. Or maybe here that you have climbed a lot of mountains and you realize, like we've all realized, that we can't do it alone, that we need Christ in our life, but we also need the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'd ask you to respond as we stand and sing.